Okay, now we're recording,
Okay,
correct?
it is 3 o'clock. I'll call this meeting to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Here.
Kevin Latos.
Here.
And Josh Short.
Here. All right. Awesome. Is there any public comment? Okay, let's go to approval of June 14th, 2023 minutes, attachment 4.1.
Move to approve. This is Karen.
We have a motion, we have a second. We have a second. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Leslie, can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
And Josh Short?
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay, let's go to approval of June 19th, 2023 minutes, attachment 5.1.
Someone else can do that one.
I'll make the motion to approve.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
And Josh Short.
Yes. Okay. Let's go to share update.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Last week, I believe all of our share annual billing went out, and you might be surprised to know that our members are already sending back checks, which is amazing. It just kind of speaks to, I think, how wonderful our members are and hopefully the value of that membership to them, that they're turning things around so quickly. There's not other new information I could share with you about the share group today.
All right, let's go to administrative updates, accounting and human resources.
Our accounting staff are busily working on audit prep. They've got documents that they have to send and information they need to, that they owe to the auditors. The auditors will be on site August 7th, beginning on August 7th. Hopefully it won't be more than a couple or two, 3 days that they're actually in-house. HR is... Jill is starting to look at what the integration schedule will be for Paylocity, our new payroll system, when that's implemented. But we haven't gotten approval yet for our grants, so nothing new happens until this payroll continues, but no changes that occur in the new fiscal year budget will happen until that's in place. So just kind of waiting. Trying to do some pre-work for that.
All right. Let's just keep rolling to IT.
Great. So on Juneteenth, the power backup for our server in Edwardsville was down. And he ended up coming to the building at 3:30 because all these alarms go off and they wake him up, sort of. Electronically anyway. The other piece about so we were able to fix that power backup. The other thing that's happened is that we had a day last Thursday, and then yesterday and today in the Edwardsville office, for some reason, we lose internet. We were losing it about every 15 minutes. So our IT colleagues were busy resetting, unplugging, restarting things. And I think it's been stable now since about 1 o'clock. So hopefully we can get through this meeting.
Well, that's good. Yeah, we'll hope for that. All right, let's go to facilities and operations.
We completed the Ameren lighting incentive in the Edwardsville office. I believe that some information went out to the facilities committee about what that was going to be. Is that right, Loretta? Did you get something?
Lighting, is that what you said?
An Ameren lighting incentive. Did you get something?
I don't remember seeing anything.
Okay, I'll make sure that you guys get something. Anyway, I don't have the numbers in front of me. The Ameren has these lighting incentives every so often that they issue, and it's available till the funding runs out. And basically, we pay a lower rate to the electricians that do the installation than we normally would, and you get that incentive sort of right up front. It made a huge difference in how the building looks, and things are, they exceedingly different colors and in a way variations of color, much brighter in most spaces that have been updated already when the room has been updated. And then I think we start seeing that return on investment for the rest of that, the cost of that project, like with the next bill, we should be seeing it. Colleen thought that we'd be seeing it soon. So I was really happy that we were able to get that taken care of right at the end of the fiscal year. And it has made a huge difference already. It's much nicer in this building. So we did one of those in our Champaign office several years ago, and it did make a huge difference. So that's good. Good to be able to do that. In other news in facilities and operations, we are promoting Colleen Dettenmeyer, who is currently our senior accountant, to the position as operations and delivery director. She'll take that role effective August 14. Colleen has been serving or answering those financial pieces for our department managers in delivery anyway for several months. And it's a natural fit, I believe, and I think she'll do great. And we're really excited that's going to be going forward, that position is filled with somebody that we know.
I'm very excited for Colleen. This is going to be a great move for us, I think.
I think so. She has the energy and the enthusiasm of Susan Palmer, plus like the Excel chops, basically. Yep. So I think it's going to be a great fit. So, but she's waiting until August 14th because she's currently really involved with the audit. So I appreciate the fact that she's just going to kind of wait to start that officially.
Yeah. So, all right.
Cool.
How about membership and grants?
We have a grant report for you under new business, I believe, in your agenda. And our membership staff have been very busy taking advantage of the really warm weather and doing as many site visits as they can around our service area. So a busy group, and they're kind of all adjusting to having, Ellen keeps saying, there's so many people in this department. So that's a good thing. And they're kind of learning their ways through who's going to take care of what responsibility. And it's not all going to fall on one or two people. So that's great.
All right. And how about admin?
Okay. I am going to be traveling to Austin, Texas in the coolest summer of the month of the year, August, for a conference working with a group called CIRCLE. The acronym is CIRCLE, and it stands for Collaborative Institute for Rural Communities and Librarianship. It's the second week in August. And this is a group of people they have representatives from Texas, obviously, Georgia libraries, maybe Ohio libraries, Illinois, and I feel like there's a fifth state, but I don't know. So basically, they're going to be looking at, I don't know if you're familiar with he's a faculty member at the University of Texas at Austin. His name is David Lankus. He was also the keynote for our very first virtual member day. But back then he was in North Carolina. Anyway, they're looking at ways to have looking at ways that we can collaborate on providing training and support for rural libraries and small libraries, as well as what kind of grant opportunities might there be for that endeavor. So representing Illinois is me in person and then Anna Yackel. We'll be attending virtually, and I believe Cindy Robinson from ILA is also going to attend virtually. So it's a small group, but it will be a fun group, and I'm looking forward to whatever we can do to support small and rural libraries.
I think we lost Karen.
We did, but you still have a quorum. Do you want to keep going?
Yeah, let's just keep going.
Okay,
we don't have a whole lot.
Messaged me. She hasn't. Okay. And then the other piece under just administrative in general, some of our staff attended a training at a place in St. Louis at an organization called, or company called Filament. They do training for meetings, basically, how to run, not necessarily effective meetings, but like making sure that the time you have to spend in a meeting is as well used as possible, defining what kind of meeting that is. Are you deciding? Are you dreaming? Are you deliberating? Who's going to be the ultimate decision maker? Because I think we've all been to meetings where you feel like, great, we made a decision. And then 2 weeks later, you have the same meeting again, and you have the same conversation again. And, you know, our meetings, you know, one person, it's not just one person, and the dollar value that it costs to have these meetings sometimes is very, very large. So we need to be as efficient with that as possible. One of the things that we talked about in that session with their company president, I think is what he was this concept of hybrid meetings. So like right now we're all on Zoom and we're all like on an even playing field. But when we move to like now that board meetings, we are required to have a physical location again because the OMA protections maybe of not having to meet in person are gone now that there's no more emergency in the state. So we have several people who are attending like we are all attending now, and then some people at one physical location. So you've got that dynamic is different. Also, we learned at the new board member orientation last week that like when we go to someone is speaking like from the Evansville office or from the Champaign office, if they're not identifying who they are because we only have a single camera, it's not necessarily zooming in on that one person who's speaking. So it's a little disorienting. Plus the vibe is off a little. If you're in person, right, with a couple people, there's naturally conversation, even a nonverbal communication, mm-hmm. right? Sitting next to somebody where you miss that if you're on Zoom. So plus people online are people that are in a physical location aren't seeing any meeting chat that's happening. So that conversation flow is different. It's just a different dynamic. And I think we need to be aware of it moving forward. We're also looking at what technology we may need to have in place to better, to make those in-person location to kind of even that playing field to see what is possible. So I'm looking forward to more about that. I feel like we're going to be going back to person much more. So that's good, as long as we can make it easy for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to open meeting at compliance. I think we're good.
We are good there.
Okay, committee updates. Advocacy did not meet. How about budget and finance?
We met last week. We successfully took what should have been a 10-minute meeting and turned it into a 45-minute meeting. So lots of stuff. I had to figure out, and Kevin Kelsey helped me, because a motion and a second was made, but then somebody wanted to pull out. This was for the bills. Somebody wanted to pull out one bill. So we had to have another vote whether or not to pull it out, and then a vote to approve or not approve that bill. Ultimately, what happened is by majority vote, it was approved eventually. So it was over the lawyer fees, which isn't a new conversation. There's one for, I was hoping we'd have the finance minutes and we don't, but there's one for Ford and Harrison where the hourly charges are in question. And then there's the other one for the lady, I can't think of her name, where we're paying $400-some an hour for her services. And there was a feeling that that's higher than we would be able to get somewhere else. So I said I'd bring it up here, and now I have. I understand the fact that there's people that are specialized in these areas that we're better off using than if we're trying to bring in somebody that's just off the street. We have the same thing at my local library. We pay a lot for somebody who is well-versed in audits or library audits and things like that, because it's a bigger benefit than if you didn't do it. So, but yeah, two agenda items and or three with minutes, and we were 45 minutes.
That's something that's actually on the IHLS director's listserv right now. Conversation okay. that's happening. Libraries are asking, you know, do you use your city attorney? And most of the directors are saying, yes, we do for simpler things, right. but for specialized things, we have to go beyond that. So I think that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is to me. It may get brought up in the full meeting. So just a heads up there. I haven't said it yet. I actually won't be able to be at that meeting. We have our final week of rehearsals for that show I'm involved with, so I have to miss next week. But yeah, it will likely come up there.
Okay. Good.
Do you have any other additional info, Leslie, on that? Like, I don't really.
I was able to look at the one bill, the one for Fort Harrison. That's our HR attorney. Her name is Karen Milner, is generally the attorney that we work with. That's the attorney where the rate is $460 an hour. We're usually made aware of their rate annually. They let us know. We usually have to sign off on it. I mean, so it doesn't come up as a surprise. The other one, there were two bills, two invoices that we paid with a single check to the firm that Phil Lanzini is now with. His firm has kind of been bought or sold to a larger concern. And one was for system related business. The second was for, of the two bills, was his review of one of the modules in the trustee training platform that we're working on. And he agreed to a set rate. I couldn't find what that set rate was for the review of all the work in that grant. I believe that was just for one module. The other thing is, if you've worked with Phil very much, you may know that they don't generally put the hourly rate. They don't even put the hours on the bill. They just have like the date of service and how long was the phone call. And but it's difficult to kind of determine what his rate is from there. I think that we could get it if we wanted it. But it's always been such a reasonable amount that we've never questioned him about what his hourly rate is, especially because I feel like there are quite a few things he doesn't bill us for, the same way he does with some of our members as well. So we are also, based on the finance committee meeting last week, we started looking at legal fees for comparable firms so that we can, as we approach the next fiscal year, make the best choice of a law firm. And I think it is the HR piece that's going to be the more expensive one. And because they're not necessarily located in St. Louis, but that lawyer is located in St. Louis, they're in multiple states. It also, I think that might've been part of, you know, an attorney out of state.
The same things, just with the same concerns in a different form is what I'm seeing with that. So, I'm sure we'll just continue to keep on like we normally do. And so, okay. Any other thoughts on finance? Okay, facilities and operations did not meet. Membership and policy did not meet. And personnel did not meet. So pretty quick. Unfinished business, board officer nomination committee.
So I believe we have an attachment in your, is there an attachment in your packet? I'm looking. For what the slate is, I can give you what the slate is. If it didn't get in there,
I didn't see it.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
I'm looking again.
The slate, as I understand it, I'm sorry that it didn't end up in your packet, was Karen Bounds at vice president, no, as president, vice president Linda McDonald, secretary Tammy Krause, and treasurer Kevin Latos. Do I have that straight?
Okay. Yes, you do.
Okay. So that's what's going to go in the board packet. We can also take nominations for the floor. So I have two things I wanted to talk about at this point in the agenda. The first one is if you've been with our board on the board for a while, I'm sure you're probably aware of the fact that people have to go to their phone to vote in the election for the board officers. We have a suggestion from the staff to try for a more transparent option instead. And so what we would like to propose is this process, that the board chair for the July meeting, Josh is going to start the meeting as the board chair, announces the slate, also mentions that it's in your board packet, asks for a second for the slate. Then the chair asks if there are additional nominations from the floor for any of those four positions, president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. And then the board can vote by roll call for the slate, modifying. I mean, you can do position by position, but if it's just this, no one else has been not self-nominated or nominated for another position, then we would do it as the entire slate, but do it by roll call vote. This gets us away from the electronic voting. And what I'm curious about is how you all feel about that, not making it a hidden vote, basically.
I said private.
Yes, not private.
I mean, shouldn't it be? I mean, I don't know if it should be public. I've always been part of boards that it's public, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you feel strongly about somebody enough, then you voice it. Now that does get a little dicey, I know, but I have no problem either way, really. But it can work either way. I'm sorry to hear puppy screaming.
I mean, I'm fine either way. I mean, we've done it by a phone since I've been on the board, which has worked just fine, but I'm fine doing it open and I'm fine to having a public vote.
I'm not sure how the rest of the board would, I'm not sure how I feel about it since I'm on the slate, but I'm not sure how the rest of the board would take that. I'm trying to think what we did with ours. We do, of course, our board isn't very big, but we do ours on paper, and then it is tallied at the meeting, which we used to do back
yes. in
1810, not quite that far back, but it still allowed the individual on the board to express their preferences without it becoming personal. And there are some who might hesitate or object to doing this just by roll call, simply because that doesn't give them the chance to object without feeling they're going to become a target. And I can tell you that we've got a couple who will look at it that way if they disagree with, you know, the slate.
Has there been any complications with using phones in the past?
So the complication, go ahead.
I was say, does anyone not have a cell phone or not willing to use their cell phone?
We have had in the past, and we've changed like Troy's like shortened the URL to like it's like that bit.ly one, so that it's easier to get to. We can definitely put the link to the ballot or the vote in the chat. However, we're also going to be in person now. So I think it's more the just being comfortable with the technology. And the last several years, it's been unanimous. there hasn't been objection. We've also not had to the slate there. We've also not had a situation where additional people self-nominate or nominate others from the floor. So, I mean, and that's kind of where, why we made that recommendation, just because it's, there hasn't been a challenge. But I think you all need to decide how you want this done. So, so that we're ready for it, if it is electronic, on Tuesday.
My personal preference is electronic.
That's okay. Fine with me as well.
I don't mind either way.
Any strong?
I mean, when we voted to put me as Frazier, it was open vote.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah,
I mean, is it something, would it help if like Troy text us the link or something like that?
Stacy's been able to text us information before, so
that's true.
You know, so then potentially it's just to hit the link and you're there. Might be something he'd want to test out ahead of time to make sure, but. Just random thought.
Okay.
Well, it definitely needs to be tested ahead of time. We don't want to do it the first time that night.
Yeah.
No. And they generally test everything before we roll it out. So yeah. I will let him know what we need to have set up. And then the other piece on this is not necessarily, but it's already on your agenda. When the board, in conversations that I've had with Josh about the executive director's evaluation and the there's been conversations about the method of the evaluation, like what tool do we use. I was hoping that in FY24 was when we moved to Team Flex, so we're using the same software for the executive director's evaluation as we do for the rest of our staff, albeit a little differently. So what it would look like would be all board members on a quarterly basis would have the opportunity to give a 360 review, and they would get a link to or an invitation to submit something, a 360 review. When you would get into that application, you would see the executive director's quarterly report based on the goals that were in that for that month or that quarter. And then, like I said, all board members would have an opportunity to give a 360 review. The onus in this is on the board chair. So that board chair, because it's the board chair, the way we understand that it would be set up for this kind of an evaluation would be basically drafting the evaluation. Take the comments from all the 360, you'd have access to all the 360 reviews, and then craft a response. It doesn't have to be long. It's not very, easy to understand the software, how it works. It's pretty contemporary with other applications that we have in the workplace, but it is a change. And so because it, again, assuming that you're all okay with it, or whoever our new board officers are all okay with this method, Jill and I would like to set up, it would have to be a executive committee meeting, but the goal of that executive committee meeting would be to like walk through the software and just kind of show you what it looks like, to make sure everybody's okay with that.
You anticipate doing this for 24?
Yes. So that means we'd have to start in August, at least to kind of, let's just try a quarter with like say one or two goals. The way we do it for staff is we ask staff to come up with up to three goals for that quarter. And then they write, there are different tools where you can say this goal is 66% done. Four of the five steps of this goal have been achieved. There's different ways for us to kind of break those goals down. I feel like from the perspective of the executive director, not even it being me, but somebody else down the road, they would get, I think, more feedback from those quarterly reports that I started last year. And there would be at least an understanding, at least among the executive committee and the executive director, as to what those goals were. So so it's not so nebulous. And everybody knows what's expected of the executive director. Everybody knows what the board's goal, what's required as far as actions from the board members. And it's a more contemporary way of doing an evaluation as opposed to the method that we use now.
I like it.
Okay.
Personally, I'm not Karen potentially that's gonna go through and pull all these together, but I like that it's not just one time at the end of the year and that you're getting feedback, you know, over a quarter or whatever, to let you know if you're on track, or we let you know if the goals have changed, or, you know, whatever that is. I definitely like it.
I don't have any objections to it. It's just getting used to a different system. And if it helps you, then I would say that it would be well worth it to avoid some misunderstandings along the way. And so that people aren't, I don't think people do typically, but people aren't jumping with both feet at the end of the year. But that sounds reasonable to me to do it that way. I'm certainly willing to try.
Okay.
And then there is a tool in place that is being requested.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be, it'll be compatible with the rest of our staff evaluate the way they're evaluated, at least in terms of the software that we use and the metrics that we have in place. I didn't know how to bring this up, because if we wait until we have officers in August, then we're way into the quarter. So it'd be nice if we could at least kind of get going on it in August. So in theory, what we would do is send out a doodle poll to whoever selected as officers after the July meeting and select a date. And that's the day we have this meeting, where really it's a kind of an orientation to that software to kind of see what's possible. Okay. Thank you.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, baby steps. I think that's a good way to go. All right.
Okay, let's go to new board member orientation.
So we had our new board member orientation last Thursday in Hillsboro. Josh was there. Christy Walker from the Bethalto Public Library District was there. She's a trustee. And Melissa Tedesco, who's a school librarian from O'Fallon High School, was there as well. Right before the orientation, Lisa Horsley, who works at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, who was selected from the members in that vote for new positions for a special library representative, resigned from the board. So we now have, you'll see it in when I put the agenda up here in a minute, Josh reached out to the other person who also ran for that position in the spring. Her name is Christy Lear. She works for the Illinois State Archive. She's a staff archivist, maybe it might be her title. And so you chatted with her, and
she's in
for next Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. So that leaves two folks that need to be oriented. One is Frank Buckingham. He's from the Case Halsted Public Library District in Carlisle. I'm going to try to get with him somehow on my travels, maybe next Monday, because he also works at Southwestern Illinois University College in Belleville. And Christy's orientation may have to be after the fact, but I think even if both of them were after the fact, I think that they will be okay at the new board meeting. I just wanted to give you guys an update on that. It was a nice trip to Hillsboro.
Yeah. even though he didn't need to go to Hillsborough.
Didn't need to go that far, even though Christie ended up at Highland first instead of Hillsborough.
Yeah.
And that's where we had left. That's where we picked up Josh. So, but other than that, it's all good. It was very nice. And Josh and Melissa figured out the new tech in their conference room, which was awesome. So now we know we have our own location for other member kinds of things. So that was good.
All right. Let's go to new business.
In your, is the grants update, I think is the only one under new business. I included a short present, a PowerPoint that Leslie Zavadyk put together, just kind of outlining like the high points of what she worked on in FY 2023. She put it together as if she was going to give a presentation to the board. I don't know that you all, I don't know that we need to do it at a board meeting. But I told her I would definitely share it with all of you. Since then, since she had that put together, in addition to the work that she's been doing with grants, she started the process for a much larger grant that will expand what the Mobile Memory Lab is capable of with the NHPRC, National Historic Preservation Records Council, maybe committee. I don't remember what the C is for, but it's for a planning grant that work. I mean, a grant that works with original documents. And since the Mobile Memory Lab is really like family genealogy kind of focused, we feel that that fits really well. So we're getting our letters of support from our partner organizations together for that and moving forward. The other thing about grants is we've talked generally, maybe more in my quarterly reports about broadband and the grant opportunities that will be coming out of the state. They published a notice of funding opportunity at the end of June for a grant that started July 1 that went through June 30. And the window to apply was through the 1st of August. We passed on that grant. It was called a Kickstarter grant. We passed on that, but we are meeting with some of our colleagues from Rails and Carly, the Academic Library Consortium, hopefully next Wednesday night in Springfield, because most of us will be there for a meeting the next day, to start saying, okay, next time a grant comes along, this is what we're looking for, and these are our goals. Because there's the technology piece within libraries to make sure that libraries have the tech equipment that they need so that when fiber at that speed is turned on for their library that they can accommodate it, I guess, that they have the training available or the skill sets in their staff to help patrons with that technology. So there's a couple of different components that I think will come out of it. And the state, we should be hearing really soon about what this looks like at the state level, because they have to submit their state plan to the federal government next month. So I just want to let you know there is actual work happening. We just don't have a grant yet to apply for, because we passed on the quick one.
All right, let's go to July board meeting agenda, attachment 12.1.
Okay, I want to share my screen if you can see it. Okay, advance. Okay, we're good. Why is it not letting me share my screen? Are you not? Okay, here we are. So hopefully you can see what looks like the, this is our meeting packet. Close your eyes. We're going to zoom really quickly to that next page in the agenda. There we are. Okay. Can you see that now? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So what I did to the agenda was make a slight little change on, you can still see it. Okay. On,
you need to, yeah, we're like, you cut it in half now. I don't know what you did, but
I don't know either. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, sure. Okay. That's great.
Okay. So under, welcome new board members. I just switched. I'll switch Lisa Horsley. I'll take Lisa out of that, and then we'll add appointment of a new board member. because Christy Lear will be an appointment. She won't be an election. Or do you want me to just put them all in there together and list like where they're from?
Sure, that's fine too.
Okay.
Where are they from? I'm not sure, but what that person shouldn't be listed as an appointment, because if that's not something that was, if the board has seen before and suddenly we have this new person coming out of the woodwork, will there be possibly some questions about how that was arrived at? I mean, I understand what you did, and I suppose that's all you have to say, but should that person be lumped in with everybody else?
That's my question. And I'm happy to split it out. And so we would basically have the welcome new board members. And that attachment that's there is the commitment to serve. Mm-hmm. And then the next item on the agenda would be appointment of X person for this position.
Yeah, I like that.
That would be
better. That's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I agree with Karen.
So at least it's listed on the agenda, especially. It's just awkward because, bless her heart, Lisa Horsley was never at a board meeting, so she never served. So, but the process has to be different to get her there. So, okay, we can do that.
Sounds good.
And then the other, I think everything else on the agenda is pretty much the same. Oh, I'm sorry. Right after that will be the election of officers. So the attachment for that will be the ballot. And then, I mean, the slate. And then the, again, with June, because June is the last month in our fiscal year. We won't ask the board to approve the June financials because that's what the audit basically is. That's a component of the audit. So it's just a draft report for financials in June. We do have a couple of things that we've got on the agenda right now as communication. What thought it would be nice, since quite a few people actually were able to attend American Library Association conference, if folks from the board want to talk about that, then we are trying to find a date for when we open this every 3-year triennial member survey. That I think that would be a good place to have that conversation under communication, as well as kind of looking at what we've gleaned from the last survey. And what's been implemented because of that. So to kind of show a progression from these member needs that have been expressed, and this is how we responded to that. And then Stacy has the commitment to serve piece as the board learning component. I believe we are going to have a staff report. I don't know if we'll have secondary employment. And then committee reports, of which there will be two. We should have the partner reports. We should have the school library report and the ILA report, Illinois Library Association report. We wouldn't have an ISLAC report, a State Library Advisory Committee report, because that meeting would be 2 days after. An unfinished business. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about in FY 2024, and we will put together an attachment, I think, is how and where, or how often the board has you all want to meet in person. We did this last July, and the board agreed, I kind of by consensus agreed to meet in person 2 times a year. One would be the October meeting, and one the annual, we call it the annual meeting, and then the second would be June, or the last meeting of the year. I think it would be nice if, because we have to have it in person, to have a conversation about just how frequently you all are comfortable being able to meet in person, knowing that not everybody can get to a location. We have members for whom, I don't know how far you are, Kevin, from a location, but like Tammy Krause it's a couple hours for her to get to somewhere. And that's an awful lot of a burden for someone to do it, you know, after their regular work day, then you got to drive somewhere and be on time for a meeting in person when you can do it remotely. How far is it for you?
I can be in Champaign in 45 minutes. Okay. So we go there quite often, actually. So that one is, if it happened to be there, it's doable.
Okay.
But I, at least from what I know, like the last time we did it, nobody was sitting in the Champaign office there. I think I'm the only one, at least from what I know, that can come to that office and Stacy could, I believe. But yeah, I'm not going to drive to sit alone in an office for that. So
right. Kevin Kelsey now, because he's in Mahomet, that's really close.
Oh yeah.
It's that just is west of the office.
Yeah.
So
he's closer than I am.
Mm-hmm. He could attend. Again, right now we just want just to kind of see what it was like if we had it at our three physical locations. Because every time we add a location such as a member library, there's more to juggle with the technology. So that's another piece of that kind of conversation I think that we should have. And we'll try to give you some, either provide some options for in-person, as well as be able to answer questions about the tech that would be needed to support that. I think as long as the board is, like if we can get to the place where a majority of the board is in a physical location, I don't think there should be any questions about from an Open Meetings Act perspective about it. But we definitely need to kind of have that conversation. That was the only thing that I currently have under unfinished business. Are there other things that you would like to add?
I have a question for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I typically drive down to Carbondale,
mm-hmm.
which takes me an hour and 15 minutes or thereabouts. I have driven to Edwardsville, but getting over there is not fun. I'm going to have to check and see how long it would take me to get from where I am to Edwardsville. But I would be more likely to go to Carbondale. Now, when I was down there last, Loretta, you used to come to that office. Mm-hmm. Would you be doing that, or?
Well, if I'm going to a location, it's going to be Carbondale. Whenever I went to the Carbondale hub before, I was working in Murfreesboro, and that was right on my way.
Oh, okay.
And now it's 20 minutes the other direction. I could still do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if
someone else is going to be there, then I could do that.
I didn't want to be the only one in Carbondale. I was last time, and I knew you had had a change in circumstances, but I didn't know exactly, you know, what kind of a driving difference that made.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to check and see how far away I am from Edwardsville. We usually, anytime I've been over there, we've gone up, what is it, 4?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very narrow, very hilly, two-lane road that I absolutely despise.
Yeah, Route 4 sucks.
There's no easy way to do that. If you're coming over on 60, you come over on 64 or on 70.
64.
Yeah. I mean, but you.
At this time of year, there's road construction everywhere. And I mean, I can't even get to Mount Vernon easily from Centralia at this point in time because they've torn up 57 and they have torn up part of 64. So it's just not good traveling this time of year. But that's my problem. I'll work that out.
Would it help to have a little map of where everybody's located?
It might.
Okay. To kind of see when we put our budget together for this fiscal year, when Troy was looking at like how many, we're moving to like a Microsoft Teams environment, mm-hmm. for meeting rooms, how many, would we need to order? So we had the one in Carbondale already. And so we added in, Champagne's got taken care of when Carly moved in, and then, we added the Edwardsville hub. There, we do have some money in the budget where we could add that equipment at an additional location if we knew that board members wanted to do that. And I can also maybe just include a list of possible libraries based on where we've had meetings in the past. Decatur Public is one, the State Library is another, the Effingham Public Library has, and Marion has, no, not Marion, Mount Vernon, I'm sorry. But I feel like we've had something in person at your library too, maybe in the past, Loretta, you might not have been the director at that time. So we've had them at different library locations. And we're more than happy to do so. Again, we just wanna make sure that we're doing it based on board input, because it's not an inexpensive commitment in terms of making sure that's the equipment is compatible, et cetera. Okay, of in-person locations. All right. Then that's all we had under unfinished business. Under new business, the things that we routinely take care of at the that meeting are in July are the election of a Freedom of Information officer and an Open Meetings Act officer, as well as a conversation about these are our committee meetings and our board meetings for August, and then a discussion, a reminder to current board members and to new board members, tell new board members, you know, to reach out to whoever the chair is, regarding the committees they prefer to be on or participate in. And then we have two closed session recordings to vote or to take action on destroying, and then agenda building under new business. Is there anything else we want to add to new business?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with it being short.
In theory,
that sounds like quite enough.
Yeah, in theory, it will be. Karen, because I haven't been to Carbondale in a while, I was planning on going to the Carbondale office for the July meeting, because I'm going to be there in the morning for to work with I lead people anyway on their grant. So I plan to just stay there. So there will at least be me.
Okay.
If you want to come in person. So,
all right. Well, if we're not having a tornado, I'll try and get down there.
I think that's a great idea. No, weather permitting, but seriously, I mean, you can only do what you can do.
Sure.
And okay. All right. I don't have anything else to add to that piece of the agendas or of this meeting. The rest is all boilerplate. Any questions?
No.
Okay. I think are you at public comment?
Oh, sorry. Yes. I forgot I was still leading the meeting. Yes. Public comment. Announcements. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes, you do.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Wow. Now, okay. You'll realize if I become president, I don't want to go sitting there looking at like one
don't of worry.
On the log and not get out.
I have spent 2 years not being able to make motions. I have some time to make up for, so I'll take care of that. Leslie, can you stay on for a quick second?